Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
In the Green Scene today, how plastics can be very bad for your health. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we want to talk about two elements of plastics. The first one is microplastics. What are they?
Microplastics, well, they are exactly what they sound like. Tiny, tiny fragments of plastic. And we usually get those from bigger pieces of plastic that have been broken down in the environment. But you also just get tiny bits of plastic in some things that we manufacture. I mean, years ago, there used to be things like facial scrubs that had tiny plastic beads, and those could be seen as a microplastic. A tiny bit of fibre coming out of a piece of clothing, that's a microplastic as well. But why we're talking about them today is because of a landmark study being called that by medics that's come out in the New England Journal of Medicine. And this is an Italian study, and it looked at 250 patients that were asymptomatic, but obviously a diagnostic had picked up that they had a plaque in their carotid artery. So doctors went in to remove that plaque. And what they found was in 60% of those 250 patients, they had microplastics or even smaller nanoplastics in their main arteries. And they followed these people after they had done that procedure. Mm-hmm. And what was really interesting was that those who had those plastics in their body were nearly five times more likely to have a serious follow-up event, like a heart attack, a stroke, or even to die following this preventative procedure. They can't say that the plastic is causing this. It's very important to say that. This is a correlation, not a cause and effect that can be proven. But they did find plastics intermingled with the cells in these people's bodies in 150 patients.
I mean, you wonder whether the little particle, the nanoplastic or the microplastic, wouldn't act as something for the plaque to kind of adhere to.
Well, of course, you would wonder that. And if you did have fatty buildup inside your arteries, could a piece of plastic potentially rupture a plaque? Could it make it worse? All of those things are interesting. But even when we look at what type of plastic was in these people, it's very interesting because nearly 60% of them had polyethylene, which you and I pick up all the time. It's in plastic shopping bags. And 12% of them had PVC. Again, we know that as a vinyl kind of fabric. So these are very much everyday fabrics that we all pick up.
Now, here's the riddle. 40% of people had no microplastics in their plaque. What's going on?
And no plastics that they could detect at all. Well, the reality, we don't know, is the answer. So, I mean, there's a number of possible hypotheses. One is that people are living differently and they have different amounts of exposure to chemicals or to plastics. One thing that was interesting is the group that did have plastics were much more likely to smoke. They were likely to be younger and to be male. So those were other factors that were sort of correlated with this outcome. But what the scientists are saying is perhaps it's about inflammation, and these plastics are actually causing inflammation in the body. And as you say, if plastics are going around, they could actually just be physically damaging cells or causing a little locus for a plaque to build up.
The study is, as they have described it, a landmark study, but it was of people who needed the operation.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not the general population. It's not just a random survey taking the whole population. It's taking a very specific cohort.
Exactly. And they do stress that. Again, they're also stressing, they're not saying this is the cause of what happened to these people, but it's a very important study that will no doubt need follow-up in the general population as we are more and more exposed to plastics.
So how do you reduce your exposure to microplastics?
I mean, it's difficult because they're everywhere, but there's things we can do. There unfortunately is a lot in seafood, particularly in shellfish. So looking at your shellfish intake can be one thing you can do. Tea bags have a lot of plastic in them.
Tea bags. Now, when I read this last night, I was thinking, you know, your Barry's tea bags, your Lion's tea bags, they appear to me to be paper. Mm. There are some English-made tea bags that are little plastic bags.
Yeah, but even those ones that seem to have paper in them, many of them also have bits of plastic in them as well. Mm. But generally trying to avoid storing your food in plastic containers. Don't heat food in the microwave in plastic containers. That's a really great way to get plastic into your food. I mean, even dust in your house. And we basically breathe in or eat microplastics. So, you know, steady vacuum, reducing the amount of plastic carpets in your house, you know, things that are made of those chemicals that are made of plastic, just trying to reduce it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that's microplastics,
yes.
But then there are other things equally unseen in plastic.
Yeah, and again, most of us know that plastics come from fossil fuels. So again, you refine crude oil and things like that, and you get products like butane and propane. We all know those. But those get further converted into things like propylene and ethylene, and you can see where this is going. Mm. You then get to things like polypropylene, which are your plastics. So we know that. But then a lot of things get added to those plastics to give them different properties. And again, people might have heard of something called BPA, bisphenol A, because it became very famous that you didn't want that in your plastics, you'd see BPA-free plastics. But that is one of, up until now, only about 13,000 chemicals that was getting added to plastics to give them different properties, different colours, different strengths, different pliabilities. But this is a new study that came out from Norway that has found not 13,000 chemicals, but 16,000 different
16,000
chemicals in plastics.
And is there a list?
So there isn't really a good list anywhere, because a lot of these plastics have proprietary kind of information behind them. Companies don't want to share exactly the chemicals that they've added to plastics to give them particular properties. But what's concerned, so only about 6% of these now 16,000 plastics that we're being exposed to have any kind of global regulation. And what these scientists could see when they looked at the families of plastics, so things like phthalates and forever chemicals that we've talked about before, Pat, about 4,000 of these 6,000 we know are toxic. We know they can build up in a human system, and we know they persist in the environment. So I think this is kind of yet another call to arms to us, yeah, to say we kind of need to get our house in order when it comes to what we're allowing people to put in plastics, which we know are then everywhere. I mean, it's, yeah, impossible to avoid.
I mean,
them, really.
We obviously, in this recycling world that we're trying to live in now, obviously, you might have a plastic shopping bag, but it's your forever bag. So is that okay to use?
Well, I mean, that's a real challenge for manufacturers, because if you're trying to take in a waste stream of plastic and you don't know what's in it, how do you then certify forward to the consumer what's in that plastic? And of course, the whole process of recycling, we know that chemicals can change if you subject them to things like heat and pressure. Mm. So what's happening there when we recycle plastics? Are we changing the chemistry in them? So I mean, this is, it's great to have this report. It's coming at a good time. There's a new UN treaty coming up on plastic regulation, where countries are trying to get together to say, look, we need to look at this as an issue, because we know now plastics are getting into our bodies, so we need to know what's in them.
The cost benefit, though, that you must look at, for example, we talked before about, if you get your cucumber, which is wrapped in what the Americans call saran wrap, yeah, or cling film, it actually preserves the cucumber for a lot longer, so you've less food waste.
That's true.
So it's that, you know, where is plastic appropriate and useful, and are we prepared to pay the environmental cost of that use? Or do we just ban it altogether?
Well, and look, what about a plastic heart valve? I mean, that's critical, and we, yeah, need it. But you know, we do. We have scientists in Ireland working on alternatives to plastics for food wraps. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to challenge researchers to come up with better solutions, yeah, now that we know this is a problem.
Yeah, and yet when you see stuff that's unwrapped in the supermarket, and then you see this fella's just been picking his nose, and then he reaches in, examines the carrot. Now, you will wash the carrot maybe when you get him, but it's not what you're, or someone sneezes on the little cake that's there unwrapped. Do you,
yeah,
know?
I know. But then the whole hygiene hypothesis, Pat, you know, a bit of exposure to germs isn't the worst. I mean,
but you don't want his snot, do you? Really?
We don't. We definitely don't. But look, I think, as you say, we have to have the information so we can think about these decisions and decide collectively what we want to do. And we can't do that without the information. So it's good that we know more this week than we did a couple of weeks ago.
We know more, although we don't have that list of 16,000 potentially toxic ingredients in our plastic. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.